All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
Coming to you live today from downtown Ephrata.
Ephrata,
a.k.a. Efferstuttle.
I've never referred to it as Efferstuttle.
Oh, that's my favorite. That's my preferred nomenclature.
Wow.
Would be the Efferstuttle, the town of Efferstuttle, just up the road from Brookerville.
Yeah, well, real close to the New Hollerback.
Right.
That's what I call where I grew up.
Yeah, the New Hollerback.
New Hollerback.
Ain't no Hollerback, yo. Hey, are we going to talk about that commercial? I forget what it's for, but I think it's Geico, where the old rappers are like, I'm going to blank on the thing, but they're in the kitchen making their sundaes, the ice cream sundaes, and they're like doing their little dancing. Oh, it's so funny.
Oh, man. This is a side note. I was, years ago, I had a new coworker I was new to, and he was a young guy, like 16, and I'm with some other guy just quoting Busta Rhymes and Tupac and stuff, and he had never heard of these guys, and I was like, oh man, how do you not know the greats, you know, just Biggie and just joking around, like, I'm not even a big fan.
Right.
I thought, whatever, he'll forget about it in 2 days. The next day he comes in and he's like, yeah, there's a lot of swearing in those songs. And I was like, ooh. Did not think about that.
Didn't see that shit coming.
Don't tell your parents about me.
I'm a bad man.
So that's my bad influence.
I guess so. Yeah. Speaking of bad influences, did you hear the big news?
I didn't. Tell me.
Our listeners pool grew by one.
That's like triple.
We got an email the other day from our newest listener. His name is Ezekiel Pierre, and he was just born like 2 days ago.
What?
Yeah, but he's super quick. I think he voice texted the email.
Oh, it sounds about right.
Yeah, I don't think you can type when you're like 12 hours old.
No,
but he totally voice texted his memo. He's like, love the show. Been listening to it for 9 months now. I'm going to have to catch up on the first year and a half that I missed.
Big
love
fan.
It. Yeah, exactly. So congratulations to Ezekiel for making it to the other side. Welcome out. You know, he's been cooking for 9 months and now he's loose and fancy free.
Whoa.
And the big news related to this story, but secondary to the new listener, is my brother, my older brother.
Whoa.
Are you ready? You want to sit down for a sec?
Let me sit down.
Sit down.
Okay.
My older brother, who, by the way, is tiny. He looks nothing like me. He's tiny, very handsome, good-looking guy. Anyway, my brother, who the last time I checked, he's like 18, 19 years old. My brother is now a grandfather.
Whoa.
How do you reconcile that?
Whoa. I haven't even given my mom grandkids yet. And he's out there getting his own grandkids?
And so I'm going to have to check into his age because I think he must be elderly by now.
What's going on over there? Are you an old guy?
We can talk all the trash we want on him because the dirty bastard has never listened to the podcast even once.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
May he forever.
Well, you know the problem is he lives out west. He lives like north of Seattle, by Canada. They don't have the internet out there.
Well, you know, may he forever be known as the one of your brothers that I don't like.
Right, there you go. All right. speaking of things, so congratulations to the West Coast Ketchums. Beautiful, beautiful week. We're all very excited to welcome Zeke into the world. But speaking of things we don't like, there's a new, you know, on this show, I try to sort of talk about what's going on behind the scenes and fill you in on the latest sort of back and forth between movie theaters and studios, because I think it's interesting for people to hear and sort of be familiar with how movies get to their towns and stuff like that. Well, the other day I read an email from my new Sony contact. You remember Chris left, and now I have Stella, who I love. Stella's doing great. Me and Stella hit it right off.
Hold up. Before you go any further, do you call her Stella?
Stella! She never heard that before.
That's crazy.
I know. It was really weird because I did that, and then she was like, oh, that's really great. No one has ever done that before. She's like, I don't even know what you're referencing. Streetcar named what now?
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
Right. I have no desire and no streetcars, so there you have it. So anyway, I get this email from Stella. And I ask her, I sent her an email that said, what's the deal with this Cinderella movie? Is this like a real thing? Is this a kid's movie? Is this an art movie like the way we just watched Pinocchio? Like, I was trying to get a better sense of what are we doing with Cinderella on February 5th? And should I be looking at it as like a family film? And are we confirming it for the Penn Cinema Theaters? And just sort of, it's a pretty typical email that I would pretty typically send out with pretty much any title. Almost every title that we book starts out some period of time before we book it with me sending an email to the studio rep saying, you know, what's the deal with this movie? What's the release plan? What are we doing with it? Blah, blah, blah. So I write her this email about Cinderella, and she writes me back. And she writes me back with what she thinks about the movie, and then she says, but unfortunately, I think it's going to move. I'm just waiting for official word.
Ooh.
And I suddenly realized, and it did move, but I suddenly realized as I was reading those words in her email, the phrase, it's gonna move, or gonna move, or it's moving, or whatever, is now like a common, like it's a common thing in the movie exhibition distribution industry. It's part of our lexicon. It's part of, you know, our vocabulary. And when people say it's going to move, we just know what that means. You know, whereas like 3 years ago, if somebody said, oh, this movie's coming out in 3 weeks and it's going to move, I would say, what do you mean? It's going to move. You mean it's going to move tickets? It's going to sell a lot of tickets? Like, what do you mean it's going to move? Like, that would have been totally foreign to me. And yet now it's a commonplace. And that is really, I think it's an unfortunate fact of life in the world that we're living in. And that goes right on to segue into, I mean, James Bond, we talked about that last week. That's officially October 8th now. Peter Rabbit is in June. Quiet Place 2 moved. Cinderella moved. What do you think about all that?
I got more here.
Hit me.
Last Night in Soho, April to October. Ghostbusters Afterlife, June to November. Uncharted, July to February 2022, which says to me that movie might not be doing so great.
Right.
Morbius has moved from October to January 2022. The Kingsman, March to August. Bob's Burgers been taken off the schedule completely, and A Quiet Place 2, April to September.
I'm going to give a pass to the April movies.
Okay.
Right. I mean, April feels like it's pretty close, and we still, I mean, you and I haven't gotten vaccinations yet, so there's two people still waiting.
Right. And you know, the important ones. Right.
Right. I'm just saying, you know, if the podcasters can't get their vaccines yet, then it's probably not safe to leave the house.
Frontline entertainers is what we're going to call
us. Frontline entertainers and us.
And us, exactly.
But seriously, like, by April, I still feel like things are going to be dramatically better, but I also will agree that there are probably still some uncertainties in April. I, on the other hand, I feel like by June and July, like, geez, aren't we going out to the movies? Like, aren't we, I mean, at some point, I understand that it's not a light switch. You don't just turn it on. But, and if the answer is no, then by June and July, we're not going back out to the movies. What are we doing? Are we looking at just, are we going to write off 2021 the same way we wrote off 2020?
Ooh.
I'm not really down for that, yo.
No.
As a matter of fact, I'm against it.
Whoa. So I heard that you contacted some of the local vaccination places, and when you get the shot, they actually play "Let's All Go to the Movies."
Yeah. Let's all go to the movies and get ourselves a shot.
Yeah. I think I don't know what to think, man. I guess it really just depends on how well the shot gets, or the, you know, the
I'm cool with taking it week by week, and actually the moving, like, Peter Rabbit bummed me out, but I understand. James Bond bummed me out, but I understand. And some of these earlier ones, it's kind of like, okay, I get it, but I just feel like we're having the same stupid conversation we had a year ago.
Yeah. You know,
but you know what we said to each other a year ago? What we said was, nobody knows. And unfortunately, I think we're still in the same boat. Nobody knows. Anybody who thinks they know, they don't know.
This is a rough one, because on one hand, it's like, you know, obviously we get why they're doing
right.
it. But at the same time, you look at, like, what Universal's doing and with the day and date release, and they're sticking to their schedule.
You mean Warner Brothers?
Warner Brothers, that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I don't know if these other production companies have anything to do that with.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. So that's the state of the industry. I mean, you know, just in terms of the immediate picture, we're kind of plugging away. I mean, it's not good, you know, but it's okay. And, you know, we're going to start bringing staff back in February. Oh, I got news. Stop.
This just in.
This just in. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
The Penn Cinema Drive-In is reopening.
What?
So the Penn Cinema Drive-In in Lititz was torn down by wind.
Yeah. The gods.
The gods.
They came in and they said, nothing can be more beautiful than us.
Right. Yeah. The gods of thunder. No, not the gods of thunder, the gods of wind.
Of wind, yeah.
Did you break wind?
Because I'm about to break you.
Right. So the winds came and literally tore our screen off the side of the building. That was back in November, I think. And we've just sort of left it hang there. Well, we cleaned it up, but we couldn't afford to replace it. So we've decided to go ahead and replace it. And we will reopen our Penn Cinema Drive-In on February 26th, just in time for the new Tom and Jerry action Warner Animated Group movie.
Yes.
And the crowd goes wild. Yeah. So that's good news.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's great news.
We'll crank out another summer of drive-in movies if that's what's in the cards.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right, you got some movie news for me?
Yeah. So here's some, like, I mean, this pales in comparison to the drive-in reopening.
Right.
But,
well,
yeah. But it's just slightly. Jim Gaffigan, my boy, he's been cast as Smee in Disney's live-action Peter Pan and Wendy. How do you feel about that?
Is it faux pas if I admit that I don't know who Smee is?
What?
If you told me to name the cast of Peter Pan, I could come up with Peter Pan, I could come up with Wendy, I could come up with Tinkerbell, and I could come up with Captain Hook.
Yeah, but who does Captain Hook yell at all the time?
I'm guessing Smee.
Yeah, he's his deckhand that, like, he's always hollering at for.
Who's playing Captain Hook?
For all I care, Jim Gaffigan's playing them all. It's a one man show. Peter Pan, Wendy, Hook, Smee, even the alligator.
You know who would be cool as Captain Hook?
Who?
Matt Damon.
He's busy, though.
What's he busy with?
He's busy. He's going to be in an undisclosed role in Thorth. That's Thor, Love and Thunder.
The fourth?
The fourth Thor.
Fourth?
Thorth.
Thorth. Fourth.
Thorth.
Thorth?
Thorth.
Fourth?
But Thorth? Matt Damon was in a previous Thor movie. Do you remember
Thor
that?
Thor movie?
Yeah.
A poor movie.
Thor. Not a poor movie.
Oh, I thought you said poor.
A Thor movie.
A tour.
Yeah, he toured in this one movie.
What previous Thor movie was he in?
He was in Ragnarok.
Shut up.
Yeah, dog. When you watch Ragnarok, there's a point where Thor goes to confront his dad's on the throne, but he's like, what? That's not my real dad. That's Loki.
Dad's on the throne, what, like dropping a deuce?
Yeah. Yeah, he's taking a dump. His dad, so he comes back and he finds Loki impersonating his dad.
Okay.
And Loki is watching a play.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that scene. Yeah.
And in the play, the actors.
Right.
One of the actors portraying, I don't remember which, if it's Loki or or who, but one of them is Matt Damon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh. And so is he joining the cast of Thorth, Love and Thundereth, in a similarly like almost like a cameo uncredited role, or is he like going to come out of the shadows and have a part?
I don't know. All I know is that he's officially joined the cast, which I don't know if he was officially part of the cast in the last one.
Now, David.
Yes.
You're a pretty cool guy.
Ah, thanks. That's what the people say.
Yeah, you're on the short list of cool people I know.
Wow. All
right. Yeah, but you're not quite – like, how cool do you have to be when the people making Marvel movies are like, hey, dog, why don't you come to the set and just, like, play this unimportant, irrelevant, like – I think you're pretty cool if you could get invited to, like, watch them film a scene of a Marvel movie. But then if you get to watch them film a scene and they're like, hey, you know what, Matt, why don't you do that? Why don't you be the guy in the play? Like you have some pretty cool friends if you all of a sudden, just for the fun of it, like, are in Thorth.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Or, like, if you have cats walking around your head.
Who would have thought?
I mean, either one. It's both pretty cool.
I mean, who would have guessed if a cat walks in front of you on a video?
Now, if you really want to impress me, if you want to be even cooler than Matt Damon, get that damn cat playing that hurdy-gurdy in the background.
She's teaching me right now. No, but it's funny you mention that because I just learned this week. This is going to blow your mind. So if you're at home, buckle in. And if you're in your couch and you don't have seat buckles, safety first, guys. You should have seat buckles. So buckle in for this information. Do you remember the movie Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home?
No.
Okay. This is the one where they slingshot around the sun and they go back in time to the 70s. No, 80s. They go back in time to the 80s. To save the humpback whales and bring humpback whales to the future. Because, plot. In that movie, they're on a bus, and there's a guy, punk rocker, with a boombox on his shoulder, blaring his punk music, and Spock reaches over, gives him the Vulcan death grip, and knocks him out, right?
Right.
Now, the director for Spider-Man, Mark Webb, big fan of Star Trek.
Oh.
Met this guy at a convention and said, would you want to fly out and be in Spider-Man? And the guy's like, sure. So the punk rocker in Spider-Man, there's a scene where he's on top of a building and there's a guy at a hot dog stand. He's like, hey, aren't you that Spider-Man guy? And he's like, yeah, it's me. This is a scene in Spider-Man. Right next to him is the punk rocker with the same boombox on his shoulder, meaning that Spider-Man takes place in the same universe as Star Trek, official canon. I mean, right? He's the same guy. He's still rocking the boombox, you know.
Yeah.
40 years later.
Maybe they should make a movie about him.
They should.
It's not the worst idea I ever heard.
Yeah, that is some deep trivia.
Yeah.
To bring up. So.
Which Spider-Man was that? Was that the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man?
No, that was the Mark. That was the Tom Holland Spider-Man. So current
Tom Holland, yeah.
Marvel. But speaking of Tobey Maguire, things aren't going so well on the set of Spider-Man 3.
Ruh-roh.
I know. Apparently our boy, who demanded more money and all this junk, he's being a little bit of a diva on set.
Stop it.
I know. Not our Tobes.
No.
So Tobes is like causing a ruckus. Apparently they're not liking it. And I don't, this isn't like stop the presses news, but apparently, you know, the website we got this covered thought it was worthy of a headline that they totally misspelled. So,
misspelled?
Yeah. It was like, it said something along the lines of like, instead of love, they used the word live. It was like, way to go, buddy.
I don't follow Tobey Maguire that close. I'm not trying to pretend to be like a super fan or whatever.
Yeah.
But just as a casual person who appreciates like some of what he's done, doesn't this story surprise you a little bit?
Are they
just all divas and sometimes it comes out and sometimes it doesn't?
If I could be totally wrong on this, but if I remember correctly, Tobey Maguire got to a point where he like decided to stop acting because he had made enough money and wanted to family or something. So this is kind of a Rick Moranis type thing where like they're pulling him out of retirement.
Oh, gotcha.
So I'm sure he's like, well, I only want to do it if I have this, this, and this. And then he's not right. used to this life anymore. And he's kind of like, I don't really want to. You can't tell me I'm Tobey Maguire.
Hey.
So.
All right. I want to wrap up our news segment.
Okay.
With some fake news.
Please.
Now, you know me, David.
I mean, I think I do.
I'm a kind-hearted soul. I generally like to, at any given moment, I like to give people a pass.
Right.
I mean, I always try to give the benefit of the doubt. Seek to understand as to be understood, blah, blah, blah. And, okay, so that's one thing.
Right.
My next thing is, have you ever told a meaningless lie for no reason at all? In other words, it really gained you nothing, but for whatever reason you said it.
I mean, have you heard this podcast?
Right. Okay. So again, I'm not trying to say that this person did something that I've never done.
Okay.
But I just want to, I found it incredibly amusing. So, and I'm not going to, you can Google it if you care, if you're that petty, but somebody wrote a newspaper story about entertainment in Lancaster County. Okay.
Oh.
And it was a very nice story reflecting on 30 years of entertainment, you know, over the last 30 years. And in this story, the reporter mentioned sort of a highlight reel of all their favorite moments in entertainment, right?
Okay.
And when it came time to give Penn Cinema a little nod, which, you know, was very generous, I appreciate being included. I mean, there's no reason I would have to be included if you look back at the 30 years of entertainment. I mean, we've only been the biggest number one movie-going theater for the last 15 years. But still, you know, on the balance of history, there's no requirements, no reason they would have to have mentioned us.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that they did. And that's, you know, very nice. Okay? Right? Thank you. That's terrific. But I'm reading the article, and the person says what they remember. And again, it was a very eloquent piece. They were sort of naming, we did this at this place, and we did this at this other place. And then they came time to give Penn Cinema a nod, and the reporter said, and we cried tears during the beautiful screening of watching Million Dollar Baby at Penn Cinema. Now, David, of all the beautiful movies that we have played at Penn Cinema, why would you pick Million Dollar Baby?
Because maybe that was the last time they felt anything.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Now, I read the article and I thought to myself, that's a weird movie to pick.
Yeah.
To reference like you know, in the last 15 years, that's the movie that stands out. And okay, so maybe you're not into Star Wars. Maybe you're not into superhero movies. But you're not talking about, like, Blindside or Slumdog Millionaire or Les Mis. You know, there's a lot of other movies, beautiful movies, you know, that have come and gone since then. And as a matter of fact, I did a little looking. And it turns out that since we opened, we have played. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
We have played 2,861 movies.
Wow.
That's pretty wild. That's pretty wild, right? Yeah. 2,861 different movies have been played at Penn Cinema. This is just in Lititz. All right. Now, we played a movie in 2014 called Million Dollar Arm. I don't know if you remember that movie.
No, surprisingly not.
Yeah, I don't remember it. Also in 2014, we played a movie called A Million Ways to Die in the West.
I kind of remember that one.
I kind of remember that one, too, and it caused us a little bit of scheduling problems because both of the first four letters of the title, Million Dollar Arm and Million Ways to Die, is M-I-L-L, and we had to, like, come up with a whole new, like, shorthand script so that we didn't get the two titles on the wrong screens, and it was a whole little odd comical thing. But I'll tell you what, I'm doing this research, and I'm looking for Million Dollar Baby was released in 2004. Penn Cinema opened in 2006.
So either this person saw a rescreening, which probably didn't happen.
Okay. So that's why I looked up all the titles, and I thought to myself, well, maybe later we played Million Dollar Baby somewhere. No, we played Million Dollar Arm, and we played Million Ways to Die in the West, but we did not ever play Million Dollar Baby at Penn Cinema in Lititz.
Wow.
So maybe this reporter was crying at Regal, and I appreciate the fact that she gave credit to us, but I'm here to tell you, it didn't happen.
Maybe they,
ladies and gentlemen, fake news.
did they mention Regal at all in the article?
No.
So maybe this person forgot that Regal even exists.
Right.
Yeah, that's probably what happened. They're just such a big fan.
Right.
You know?
Well, and that's why I don't want to name names, and that's why I don't want to encourage anybody to check it out. But it was really funny, and I totally would do the exact same kind of thing. But it's just so funny. Like, why would you pick that movie of all movies? And then it turns out it's not like you had a special Penn Cinema memory because we never played the movie.
Wow.
Crack me up. Mm. All right. Well, anyway, this concludes
our news, yet not so much real news.
Right.
Yeah. Moving on to trailers for this week.
Woo.
We got a big one. We got probably Penn's new favorite movie and some littler ones. Which one would you like to start off with this week?
let's work at the bottom of this list and work our way up. So we'll start out with Brothers by Blood, which looks like a vertical entertainment movie, which looks like it's probably going to come to theaters and then quickly go to streaming. It's probably not the best movie, but it had a decent enough cast. Nobody that I could remember to name, but certainly people that we've seen in other movies. Yeah. What I liked about this movie, I was actually watching one of the other trailers on our list today, and I was thinking to myself, I just want an interesting story. You know, I just want a storyline. And I want real acting with real people, and this movie I think is going to check that box. Like, I don't think this movie, it's called Brothers by Blood, and it's basically about some guys who are, it reminded me of The Drop with James Gandolfini and Tom, what's his face, Hardy?
Yeah.
Hardy. And Hurdy-Gurdy. The Grateful Dead song, by the way, is called China Doll. We had nobody grab that song.
Shocked.
But anyway, right. But Brothers by Blood is like whatever. I feel like it's the kind of movie you come see it if you're bored enough.
Yeah. I thought it looked better than average. I definitely think it looks... I was more interested in this than this other trailer we're going to re-review here. But, yeah. I thought this looked like a more interesting story. It's a crime drama.
Yeah.
About gangster guys.
Right, right. And it looked all right.
Yeah.
So the next trailer, did we review this one already, The Little Things?
We did, but I think maybe you had missed it or something, so we can talk about it again.
Yeah, so I mean, whatever, the trailer is all right, but Denzel and Rami Malek and is that Jared Leto?
Yeah. It's interesting because I think when we talked about this before, I was like, not really interested, don't really care about this, thought it was pretty crap. And I still kind of think that the base trailer is pretty bad, but they've done a really good job with the little clip advertisements that make it seem a lot more interesting than like the long 2-minute trailer.
Right.
The like 15 to 20 second things that you see before videos on YouTube and stuff have definitely got my eye a little bit more interested in what's going
well,
on.
Well, I'll tell you, it's getting buzz.
Yeah.
I mean, people are talking about it, and we're playing it at all three Penn Cinema locations, also in Efferstedtl, and there's some advanced tickets. I mean, this movie could make a little ripple. It's not going to be a big movie. We're in January of 2021, and most movie theaters in the country are still closed, but I think The Little Things is going to turn out to be it's going to give a little bump.
Yeah, when's that come out? Next week?
Yeah, the 29th. January 29th. What's interesting is Warner Brothers has no Thursday night previews, which I never understand when a studio does that, but whatever. So, did we review another one that I couldn't remember? Did we review Chaos Walking?
We did. Is Chaos Walking?
It's Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley.
Yes, yeah. We've talked about this several times. It's the one where he can hear.
Yeah, so
this is
yeah,
the movie
yeah.
that was made back in 2017 and was so was so bad they couldn't find a release place for it.
Right. So enter 2021.
Yeah, enter 2021. Yeah. Yeah.
The only reason why I mention it is because that was on my print of did you watch this trailer when you watched Monster Hunter?
Yeah.
Okay, so the next trailer is Boss Level.
Boss Level. This is I feel like this genre of film needs its own name, but it's a Groundhog Day movie.
Right.
Where the guy's just repeating. So for this one has more of a video game like outlook to it where people are out to kill him and it's almost like a level base. Like if he can get past one person, then another person comes after him.
Groundhog Day is a good name for the genre because it immediately conveys what you need to know. Yeah. But this movie looked like a not as good version of Edge of Tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, this is more... you know what? This reminded me more of the Edge of Tomorrow stick, but more in a Scott Pilgrim-ish type way.
Yeah. You know? Edge of Tomorrow for a younger audience.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So still, I'll go watch it. I mean, I'll look forward to seeing it.
It did look fun.
Yeah.
You know? So.
I mean, not as fun as Flying Sharks.
No. Cue in Penn's new favorite movie, Sky Sharks.
Entrez-vous, mon frère.
This movie features giant, we're talking bigger than plane, sharks that fly, that are piloted by zombie Nazis. If you can come up with a better movie premise, like come at me because I don't think there is one. And I know Penn's really ecstatic about this movie.
I was so excited. I almost didn't want to put it on there because I wasn't sure that even though we've been at it for a couple years now, I wasn't sure the show was worthy.
To talk about such a great...
To talk about practice. Sky Sharks. The name of the movie, did we name the movie? The name of the movie is Sky Sharks.
Yeah.
Which that alone tells you got to see this movie.
Yeah, it does actually have like one person you'd recognize, and that's Peele from Key and Peele, right? No. Or it's Key.
Yeah.
It's Key.
Yeah, I think you're right.
The tall one.
I will say, unlike Boss Level and unlike Brothers by Blood... I feel like, I don't know, I mean, you're tempted to say that you want to see this movie just to enjoy making fun of it.
Right.
But I feel like it's so bad, I don't think I would even enjoy.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, when the shark flies into the building and blows up.
Yeah,
was there something incendiary inside of the building, or did the is the shark powered by diesel, or?
Well, sharks are flammable. When they're out, you don't notice because they're not out of the water that often.
Oh.
They explode really easy.
Right. How could I forget?
Yeah, it's, I mean, biology.
Right. Let me just think back to sixth grade. We covered that in basic in school.
Yeah. No, I agree. This is one of those movies where the trailer is probably more fun than actually watching the movie.
Yeah, and I'll even take it a step further and say I didn't even think the trailer was that fun.
Okay, let me rephrase it. The idea of forcing someone else to watch this trailer is more fun than the actual movie.
Now that I can sign on to.
It's all how you juggle it around.
Right.
So let's talk about the king of the trailers this week.
The king. Okay.
Yeah. Godzilla versus Kong. It's actually happening. It's actually coming to theaters. It's a real thing. And the trailer dropped today. So not yesterday, not tomorrow, not later this week. Right now, you can watch the trailer. And it is everything you'd expect it to be. It's Godzilla fighting Kong. And at one point, they're fighting on an aircraft carrier, to which my mind said, could the aircraft carrier really hold these two things above the water? Like, I gotta let go. Just let this happen.
When Godzilla came out a couple years back, wasn't the general complaint that you didn't see enough of the monster?
Yes.
Yeah. It looks like that's not going to be an issue with this movie.
No, but this is the third one, because it was, well, our fourth, because there was Godzilla, then there was King Kong, which is a prequel to Godzilla, because it takes place in the past. Then there was Godzilla, King of Monsters, or Versus All Monsters, or whatever.
Right.
And then this one takes place.
Right.
So
this is the Thorth movie.
Yeah, this is the Thorth movie.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, there was even like a Thor scene where Kong has some sort of axe or hammer that's getting hit by the electricity that he hits.
What did you think about the clip in the trailer where Kong takes a fist and delivers a punch to Godzilla's face, who takes it like a boxer, like falls over like he got punched in the head?
Well, I don't know if you, I mean, I read a little bit of the synopsis, so I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't know this, but there's a scene where Muhammad Ali is actually training both of them.
Oh, yeah. I got you. Interesting. Yeah.
It's like they both went to the same dojo.
Oh, gotcha.
That Muhammad taught at. And that's where the rivalry really started. So.
See, I don't believe you.
What? Why?
If you had told me, like, Mike Tyson trained Godzilla and King Kong, like, I would love to see some fan clips of Iron Mike training the monsters.
You don't think Muhammad Ali could do it?
Nah.
My man. I don't know. That's where the whole thing goes. Fight like a monkey, sting like a fire-breathing dragon. That's where the saying comes from.
David.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the one to tell you this, but Muhammad Ali died 4 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, David Moulton has been rendered speechless. This round goes to Ding Ding Penn Ketchum. What's up? Thank you.
He got me.
That's why I think Tyson would have been the more believable lie. Tyson's, he's not dead just yet. And also, I think we enjoyed watching Mike Tyson fool around with Hollywood.
Yeah.
All right, so those are your trailers of the week, be that as they may.
Yeah.
What we didn't talk about, I don't think this is not an easy question for me. What's your trailer of the week? I mean, it should be, by all rights, the only really legit trailer is Godzilla versus Kong, but that's not my trailer of the week.
Really? It's got to go to that for me. I just, none of them really it did anything for me. At least that one's got me a little excited.
When does Godzilla come out?
Shortly. It's soon.
March? March 26th, I think.
Something like that.
All right. Well, my trailer of the week was The Little Things, and I'll tell you why. There was a quick little scene that reminded me a little bit of Tenet.
Oh.
Where Denzel's sitting on the side of the highway, and he watches the bad guy go by in this green, like, 1960s sports car. I don't know if it's a Corvette. It's not a Corvette, but some kind of, like, a car guy would know this car. And immediately upon taking the exit ramp, the green car reappears in the on-ramp on the same side of the road as Denzel. Not like he got off the road and turned around, but almost like this, like crossing, like they did in Tenet. And that piqued my interest, where I'm like, what is going on with this movie? And then at the end of the movie, Denzel is in a room with a bunch of garbage bags that are tied up. And I don't know what's going on. It makes me feel like it's possible that Denzel's the bad guy. But no matter how you slice it, the trailer succeeded in piquing my interest. So that's why it's my trailer of the week.
Okay. All right.
And I just got a picture I'm going to post on Penn Cinema Facebook page of your cat playing the hurdy-gurdy.
Nice. Yeah, she's definitely staring it down right now. Well, I think this movie is going to have a lot of good one-liners in it. The quote they keep using is, it's the little thing. I mean, obviously the title thing is just like, it's the little things that get you caught.
Right.
Like, I think people will be saying that after this movie all the time.
Totally.
So, all right, moving on to our movie review. This week, for real this time, we saw Monster Hunter. What did you think of Monster Hunter, Penn?
I did see it. And I got to tell you, the reason why you put this on our list was because I think you said something along the lines of like, oh, it's going to be so much fun to make fun of this movie.
Yeah.
Right. And all right, fair enough. But I did watch the whole thing, and I was entertained. I mean, I enjoyed it. I kind of want to put my pinky out and show all the things that are wrong with the plot, but I was just chilling. I was relaxed. I had a cup of coffee with me, and I enjoyed. I didn't leave the theater once, and I enjoyed the whole movie. Wow. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I'm not saying like drop what you're doing and go see this movie, but if you're like, the way I put it was like, if you're sitting at home and you're like, you know what, I want to go out and watch a movie, and you're looking at the movie schedule and you want to watch something ridiculous and a little bit of action and like whatever, go see this movie. There's nothing wrong with it. What do you think? Am I off?
No. We're totally planning on being absolutely obnoxious and just ripping this movie apart. And we're watching it and we're like, I mean, we were laughing and stuff, but at the same time, as soon as it was over, like, that was not as easy fodder as we were expecting.
Right, right. It was a good movie. It wasn't great.
It was definitely setting itself up for more, which I don't know if there will be or not. Who knows? But it's one of those movies that like doesn't really have a resolution, because at the end they're just like, well, time to fight another fight. You know?
Yeah, so here's the name of the sequel.
Right.
Monster Hunter 2, Attack on Sky Tower.
Is it really?
No, I'm saying like that's,
well, that could be
like
it. Yeah.
It wrote itself. Like I knew, because I sort of knew I sort of knew what the running time was, and I sort of in my natural clock I knew that the movie was wrapping up, but then they were like organizing themselves, and one of the good guys was like, we gotta take down that tower. And then it rolled to credits.
Yeah.
And I immediately, through my mind, I saw the sequel, Monster Hunter 2, Attack on Sky Tower.
Right.
And I thought to myself, I kind of wish, I don't know, I wish the movie, like, I'm not sure that the movie's going to get backed to have a sequel. But right. I think that's kind of too bad, because I feel like it deserved one.
It wasn't horrible.
I took out my phone and I took a couple notes during the movie. I'm sorry to interrupt. What were you going to say?
No, well, I was going to say, one thing it did really well is it looks a lot like the video game. A lot like the video game. Like, they didn't shirk around things or whatever. Like, the big, gigantic weapons, and the
knives that cross and turn into fire.
Right, yeah. The monsters look like the monsters in the game. And they included the palicos, which are the most endearing part of the game to me, the cat guys. So it was cool to see that. That cat's like ripped straight out of the only one game I've played in this series. That cat chef, that scene is almost exactly the scene when he cooks for you in the game. So that was fun.
That's awesome. So I took out my phone because I had a couple notes that I didn't want to forget.
Okay, let's hear them.
All right. The one is not a quote. It's something I would like to point out. And it was like as I said a moment ago, there was a lot of things wrong with this movie, but you let them go because you're enjoying it and you don't care.
Right, 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 right.
The one thing that I could not handle was after how many days and weeks of being, you know, in army clothes and fatigues and fighting monsters and all this kind of stuff, and then she meets the native indigenous guy, and she pulls a half-eaten Hershey bar out of her pocket?
Yeah, in there in the desert.
No, like, no, that's too much. Too much for me. Yeah. No.
It was perfectly solid and everything.
Right. Broke off a little piece. It wasn't like melted and like you. It's 27 degrees today, and I'm standing in the snack bar in Effort. If I took a Hershey bar and put half of it in my pocket and went home in 27 degrees, by the time I got home, it would be a gross mess.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not even fighting a war for how many days straight in fatigues and, you know, right? And then right. All of a sudden now she's going to give the guy.
Okay, here's some chocolate. And like the scene before, she was like, oh, I'm so hungry and starving and everything.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to be obnoxious about it, but that was just too much for me. Like, I couldn't let it go.
What had me was that the beginning of the movie, one of the jokes that Simba's sister and I always make is like, oh, that's budget, whoever actor, when we see it. And at the beginning, we're like, oh, that's budget Will Ferrell or budget Ron Perlman.
Oh yeah,
and then at the end of the movie, the guy started talking. I was like, "Wait, that's actually Ron Perlman with the horrible, horrible wig on." I didn't even recognize him, so he looked like a parody of himself.
Right? Yeah, I didn't appreciate that character, or that, whatever. That was fine. I thought he was the weak link.
Oh really? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I bought the female lead and the. What's the guy's name, the headband that lived in the cave?
They didn't give him one, did they?
Yeah, well, whatever, that guy. The two of them I totally bought into and I was cool with, but I didn't love the Ron Perlman guy. But here's the quote. So speaking of those two that I loved,
yeah.
And they sort of had that back and forth, brotherly, sisterly, love, hate type of thing. And then she saves his life and he jumps up and walks away or something like that. I forget what he does to offend her. And then when he comes out of the coma.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. And then she says, you know what I'm going to do the next time you're dying in the desert? Nothing. I just thought that it struck me. I laughed out loud. I'm sitting by myself in the theater and I laughed out loud. that was kind of perfect.
Hey, look, I'm going to back up what you said. This is fine. It was a fun movie. Good Saturday afternoon, like, I got nothing to do, pop this on and just kind of vibe out.
I also, I want to shift a little bit from our movie review to comment on Promising Young Woman.
Okay, yeah.
Promising Young Woman is, I haven't seen it yet, but it's still playing at Penn Cinema, and we have a regular moviegoer who I kind of count on for her feedback. Like, I don't want to say I take it seriously like it's some kind of important thing, but, you know, she's been watching movies at least once a week for 15 years, and she always has some really intelligent insights. And she watched Promising Young Woman the other day and told me that, she said, how did you enjoy it? And I said, I didn't watch it yet. And she said, oh, you must.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'll just put that out there. If you're sort of into the movies and you're sort of wondering, like, oh, there's nothing good, I would encourage you to go see Promising Young Woman. I'm going to watch it this week and get back to my friend customer there and let her know what I thought of it. But yeah, she was like, it's a really well-made movie and it has a really important message. So I'm going to go watch it.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, what? Okay. Do we do The Little Things next week, or do we do Promising Young Woman?
No, I would do Little Things, the new movie.
All right. Okay. All right. I'm done with that. All right.
All right.
All right. So moving on to listener notes, feedback, and so forth and such. Not a whole lot going on here, but Pirate Captain Dave, apparently his new name, he's been given a promotion.
Yes.
He came at us with a slight correction. One that I thought I picked up on before we started the show, but when I went to fact check it, I was deceived by the Googles.
The Googles will get you every time.
Because I thought when it was in the notes, I was like, that doesn't sound right. And that was that the Pinocchio that we watched last week was not Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. That is yet to be released. It was Pinocchio by Roberto Benigni, I guess that's how you say it. But
is that the same Roberto that's the star of it?
No. He did Pinocchio before live action, where he played Pinocchio, and it wasn't like CG'd or anything. He was just a guy in a play costume. So that was interesting that this man has done two Pinocchio films, especially since this one seemed, like we said, it seemed so disconnected in story plot line jumps and stuff. You would think you would have it more down, but anyway.
I was stunned. I was really thrown for a loop, and I'm really glad that you covered that, because that note from Pirate Captain Dave, because I totally thought that we watched a movie directed by Guillermo Bobberbo, and I, even after reading the note from Dave, I was like, oh, well, no, it was directed by GD. And then I Googled it and fell down a rabbit hole. And when I came out the other side, I had no idea what freaking movie we just watched. I didn't know what was going on. And I was also, I think, in a different dimension. There was a sky tower, and there was a lot of sand. Exactly. I had a half a Hershey bar in my pocket and no clue what time it was.
Oh, man. That's hilarious.
I also want to point out,
okay,
Dave's email was very generous. Right? You know what I'm about to say?
He didn't come down on us too hard?
He didn't just come right out and say, you guys are idiots, you didn't watch the same movie you're talking about. What he came out and said was, I don't think the movie you watched was directed by DeBerbo, unless maybe you guys are making an inside joke that I'm not picking up on. In other words, he tried. He tried to give us like an out. Yeah. You know, somehow to make it okay. Somehow to make it explicable that we had no idea who directed the damn movie we just watched.
He gave us the benefit of the doubt that we knew what we were talking about.
Right.
Mistake number one. And that's right. Why...
That's got to be the best part I've ever seen. So it would seem.
Yep.
Yep, that's it.
I wish there would be a new Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
They're making one. Well, I don't know if it's a reboot or whatever, but it stars Karen Gillan.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. I think when we're done recording this show, I'm going to go home and watch Pirates.
Ooh.
Nice. I mean, not really, because I'm in Ephrata and I still have 3 more hours. I have a private party to attend to this afternoon that I'm hosting. I mean, I'm not hosting it. They rented the theater to watch Croods.
Whoa.
But so when I'm done with that.
Yeah.
Pirates. I'll go home and watch Pirates. Yeah.
So we also got a letter from Frodo.
Yeah.
She said she's pumped about the Moon Knight news that we put out last week. That it stars it stars our boy that I can't remember the name of every time I go to say it from Star Wars and such. Why can't I think of his name? Anyway, and it also is going to have Ethan Hawke in it. And she said she's really pumped about this new series. And she asked if I had any suggestions on how to get into the character. My answer to that is Moon Knight is a very confusing character. I don't know of any like direct stories to read, but I will say the Marvel wiki page is a great place to start to get into him, because Moon Knight is a character that suffers from personality disorders. So it's just, to me, a lot easier to read like a very distinct thing of what's happening with him instead of trying to follow a storyline and I don't know what's going on. But it sometimes his powers come from Egyptian gods. Sometimes he doesn't have any powers and he just has a split personality, like Batman type thing. So that's my suggestion for that. So, are you ready for what are you reading? What are you going to read? What are you doing?
Yeah, except that as you can see, my page is blank. I don't know what I've been doing. We went and visited Marley for her birthday. Happy birthday, Marley Bear.
Marley.
Yep.
Happy birthday.
Last week she was 7 years old. And this weekend she turned 22. So,
whoa.
Yeah, she apparently fell down some rabbit hole as well.
Do not research Pinocchio. It does not do well for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't blink. I'm just going to say that. No, I'm still reading that book by Dr. Greger, and I actually realized that I never quite finished off the really interesting book. Do you remember, it was almost a year ago, when the pandemic started and I told you my dad sent me a book, Why 1999 Was the Best Movie Year Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I read most of it and really enjoyed it and then came across it the other day and realized that I was still two chapters from the end. So I dipped back into that one. I don't know. I mean, I've been flipping around. You know, it's football season, it's training, it's work, and I haven't really gotten anything interesting to report.
Yeah, I don't have a whole much to talk about either. I watched The Incredible Hulk last night with my crew that were watching through the Marvel movies in order. And still the worst one in the series, in my opinion. But it was... I don't know if you remember The Incredible Hulk or not.
I do. I remember going out for coffee a lot during it.
They don't explain the Hulk very well. It's just in, like, passing dialogue. Because it's not an origin film. And the people I was watching it with were not familiar with Hulk. And they talked all through the credits at the beginning, which is where they explain who the Hulk is in flashbacks. And so the movie started and they had no idea what was going on. And it was, I can see why this movie would be really frustrating if you weren't familiar with the character. And also why they don't ever go back to it. So I also finished reading Blood of the Fold, which is book 3 in the Sword of Truth series by Terry Goodkind, and is absolutely amazing. Also, WandaVision, still on the fence about this, but it's looking a little bit better, so I think next week will be the week whether I decide if I really like this show or not. And I saw a lot of people online were saying WandaVision has one more episode or I'm out. So, which is crazy, because the critics are saying WandaVision's the best thing ever. I don't get it.
TikTok.
I know. All right, well, that's our show this week. Next week, we're going to be reviewing The Little Things That Get You Caught, and we'll see how that goes, so that'll be exciting. But we want to thank you for joining us. If you want to be a part of the show, the best way to do that is to shoot us an email, podcast@penncinema.com. We will, of course, respond on show or through email. One of the ways, you'll definitely get a response out of us, don't worry. But if you want to support the show, what's the number one way people can do that, Pen?
All right. We got a lot of feedback last week. We got mail, bags and bags of mail.
So much.
People objecting that my proposed way to help the show was unrealistic. So been asked to prepare a more realistic scenario for how you could go about helping the show.
Yeah.
So I put this plan together. A lot of people are doing this. I don't know if you've probably already seen it, but you've probably already read about it. But what you want to do is you want to get yourself registered to have a float in the Macy's Day Parade.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Your own float, not a Penn Cinema podcast float, but your own float. And then what you want to do is you want to do like an Animal House, so that when you're halfway down Fifth Avenue, you give the secret sign and the float tears apart mid-parade, revealing your Penn Cinema podcast float.
Yeah.
Which should be done pirate captain style.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, done up. So right. that's what I would do. I mean, whatever. I'm not trying to hear to tell you what to do, but that's what I would do if I was, you know, trying to support the Penn Cinema podcast.
I mean, if I wasn't already on the show, I'd be doing it.
Right. Yeah. Right. Same.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, yeah. I don't know if you saw it last year. I did do it. I don't know if you saw that.
I slept in. I didn't see the parade.
You know what would be wild? You know what we should do? We should have a Penn Cinema podcast float like in one of these dumb farm show parades.
Yes. Us waving.
The New Holland back parade. Hey! All the farmers would be like, what the hell? Who are these yo-yos?
Who are these guys? And then the one person would be like, isn't that the guy that hosts the milk competition every year?
I don't know. We've talked about it, but for some of our newer listeners who maybe weren't here, I am the reigning cow milking contest host for the Effort of Farm Show. So, I mean, whatever. You think I'm just a regular guy, but I'm actually a pretty big deal.
And just don't ever ask them to actually milk the cows, because there's no way that's ever happening.
No way.
No.
The first year that I was what was my job? The judge, I guess, I got attacked
by
the cow. Remember the story I told you? The cow came at me. It came at me. I could see it was it had its teeth out. It was trying to take a bite of me.
Whoa.
It was awful. Luckily, I got cat-like reflexes.
And you just weaved right between those legs.
Right. Like, oh, it was awful. It was absolutely terrifying. Amy has a picture of it. Yeah. So
holes
whatever.
In your shirt from where it like bit and just barely missed and everything.
Hashtag survivor. I'm just gonna stop. I'm just gonna put that out there.
Oh my god. Alright. Yeah. Well, once again for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care
and party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners, with locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cow.